The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down! Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-3776 is your number, 713-780-ESPN. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page, find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at producer T. Scott. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And you can watch us on live stream. Just go to ESPN975.com, click on watch us on live stream. We have whiskey coming, that'll cheer me up.
Yeah.
I get frustrated with the fact that you can't even have a conversation with people. Everybody picks out one or two little things that back up whatever they think, and then that's it. What the heck is that? Is that my computer?
Is the Oscars playing you off?
Did I just make the rookie mistake of not having my computer muted? Yeah, I did. Toy Story Land, apparently, now open in Walt Disney. I was going to watch us on live stream.
Interesting.
To see what was there. Yeah, I'll be honest, I don't even have political conversations at all with my wife anymore.
Because you and your wife are very different politically.
Yeah, and... You know, say, well, Bill Maher said that. Well, bleep Bill Maher, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress. Let's move on to some fun stuff. Do you see? Okay, here's an interesting one. And yeah, it's a couple days old. We just haven't gotten to it yet, but I was waiting to find out what else was going to happen with this. But this Asia Argento person who came out against Weinstein.
Yeah.
Apparently banged a 17-year-old, which is against the law in California.
Whoops.
Did you see this story?
No.
Well, she claims she did not have sex with then 17-year-old Jimmy Bennett, but there's a photo of them naked in bed together and various text messages between Argento and a friend that tell a very different story.
Whoops.
Basically, this was 2013. She was 37, and he was 17. And the picture was taken allegedly after the two had intercourse. She released a statement Tuesday saying, I've never had any sexual relationship with Bennett, although she paid him $380,000. Well, Anthony Bourdain paid $380,000. He was her boyfriend at the time. But then there's some text from her to a friend.
Man, that hush money, you might as well not even pay it anymore, by the way.
Yeah.
Like people take that money and then they're like, nope. Like,
well,
the James Harden thing we just saw a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, we'll give you this $500 for you not. Okay, I'll take that $500 and then I'm going to sell the tape to TMZ anyway. Like they,
yeah.
People just don't care about hush money. Those porn stars that Trump was banging, there's no loyalty with hush money anymore. You can't buy people silence. Drives me crazy.
I saw our buddy Justin Van Zandt tweet this out. I think it might have been yesterday. Is everybody in the porn industry a porn star? Because that seems to be what we refer to all of them as, right?
Yeah.
Can you be like an up and comer?
Nobody. Those are amateurs.
No, but I mean, if you're getting paid for a movie, does that make you a star, even if five people watch the movie? I don't know if that's star material.
Yeah.
But I don't know another. I mean,
I don't know. I mean,
a
is
porn
there like a
actor or
views?
Actress?
Yeah, pornographic actor. I don't know. I feel
we just seem to default to porn star.
We do. Yeah.
These are the things that bother me. You guys are getting all caught up
in the
Senate race, and I'm interested in this.
Is there stuff like different? Is there a difference between a movie star and an actor or actress?
Yeah, I think so.
Like most people think if you're in the movies, you're a movie star.
Well, would you think of, let's see, John McClane as a movie star? He's been in the movies.
No.
Okay, Tom Cruise.
But if this, yes. But if it's your full-time gig being in movies.
Doesn't make you a star. And what if you're?
But does it, I mean, but
think about all these bit actors who you look up and they've been in like 50 movies and haven't made that much money doing them, and like you recognize the face, but you couldn't tell me the guy's name or girl's name. That doesn't make you a movie star.
Yeah.
Like radio star. What would make you a radio star?
I don't know.
But she released a statement saying she never had sex with him, but then she texted her friend.
What'd she tell her?
Said, I had sex with him. It felt weird. I didn't know he was a minor until the shakedown letter. That might be true. Then she says, the public knows nothing, only what the NYT wrote, which is one-sided. The shakedown letter. The horny kid jumped me. And then her friend asked, what's up with the photo taken in bed? I think that's one that will be harder to cushion. Images are annoyingly assumption nation. Says, you can see my breasts. That's all. It doesn't mean bleep. He is standing up.
Dude, what kind of friend is this who sold her out?
Probably because TMZ got it.
These hoes ain't loyal.
Yeah.
Like, if you think you've got some friend who you can tell your deepest secrets to,
no, don't. Sure don't text them. But then there's another tweet where there's a letter that he wrote that said, I love you with all of my heart. So glad we met again. And so glad you're in my life. You're misspelled, of course. Jimmy with a smiley face. Handwritten on Ritz-Carlton stationery. And she sent that to the friend and said, he wrote me this afterwards and kept sending me unsolicited nudes all these years up until 2 weeks before the attorney's letter. It wasn't raped, but I was frozen. He was on top of me after he told me I had been his sexual fantasy since he was 12. Okay.
I don't know where I fall on
that. Well, she's one of the first one to come out against Weinstein, which makes this pretty ironic, one might say. But so far, TMZ has no word from Argento's lawyer.
I doubt they'll get one.
Yeah. Bad luck. Bad luck either way. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Timmy B says it's the same in sports. News stations refer to any football player as a football star. It drives me crazy. That's probably fair. Would you consider Joel Heath a football star?
No. Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
See, that's the thing. To me, a star would be, Deshaun Watson.
Tom Brady.
J.J. Watt. If we're talking about, let's talk about Houston right now.
Oh. Guys you would recognize
Honey
if they
Badger.
Had their helmet off
yes.
walking around town. I mean, those guys are stars. I don't know how many of those guys are superstars. J.J.
But that's
J.J.
Not,
is probably the only superstar on the
Texans,
right?
But that's not
right?
the question. The question is football star
football
versus...
Football star, yeah. There's a handful of them. David Heath, not one of them.
How about... All right, here's a borderline one for you. Christian Covington.
I don't think so.
Well, he's famous now because of what...
Because of his Madden.
Yeah, Madden rough. Made him look like a zombie.
Yeah.
The hell was that? Hey, good for him calling him out for that. But yeah, that's calling somebody a star. See, like Ike says, R.J. Bell's a movie star. He was on Ballers.
That's not even a movie. That's a television
He's a television
show.
Star. Yeah. I don't know. I was on Sports on the Rocks. Does that make me a...
No, okay. You're an internet...
Nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. An internet performer.
Yes.
That sounds too close to like porn actor.
But you are a radio star.
I don't know about, star.
I don't know about that either. I mean,
well yeah.
I don't know if there are any radio stars in Houston.
Rod Ryan's pretty big.
I mean, maybe so.
Yeah.
What's the conservative guy's name?
Oh, Michael Barry.
Michael Barry. He's a star.
Rula and Ryan. Maybe them.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Teresa Rockface. Is she a star?
Who's the other? Sam. He was 104. Now he does political talk radio. I can't remember his last name.
Yeah. He's not a star then.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, if you can't remember his last name, I think within, I don't know about star, well known.
You're a local celebrity.
It's not a star, though. Celebrity, no. Not necessarily.
You're okay. A local celebrity.
I think that's a good description of it. 713-780-ESPN. Blake asks, are there any superstars on the Astros? Are there any real true superstars in the MLB right now?
Jose Altuve is a superstar.
Well,
Justin Verlander is a superstar.
Superstar, though, means you transcend the sport. And like baseball, I think, is really lacking in those kind of guys.
Because even Mike Trout's barely a superstar, and he's like right. one of the best players
and
we've
Bryce,
ever seen.
Bryce Harper.
Harper has the big hair. He's more recognizable.
Yeah. I mean, that's not to say those guys aren't Esme says it was Sam Malone for Caribbees.
But do you think there's a lot of people who would recognize Mookie Betts if they saw him out of his baseball uniform? Like, who aren't Red Sox fans.
Right.
They just saw Mookie Betts in HEB. Would they know it was Mookie Betts?
I'm not sure. I would know.
He's probably going to win the MVP this year.
I'm not sure I'd recognize Mookie. Or Mike Trout, for that matter. Even though I've seen their faces.
Justin Verlander and Jose Altuve are unquestionably superstars in Houston.
Right. But
I don't know that there's a true superstar on the Astros.
Verlander would be the closest, I think.
James Harden's a superstar.
Yeah.
Chris Paul.
Yeah.
He's a superstar.
He's got all those commercials. Yeah. Is
Carmelo a star or a superstar?
I think he's probably
used to be a superstar.
Yeah, he's more well-known now for not being a superstar anymore.
I think when guys move around, it kind of helps their cause for being superstars.
Yeah. I don't know. Some guys are, like Melo, everything Melo did in New York was a story, right?
Right.
Honey Nut Cheerios.
He was in New York.
That was part of it, but even before then, even in Denver, he was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
I think it's easier. Basketball players are easier to become superstars because, for one thing, they're not wearing hats or helmets.
Yep.
And
there's only five guys per team.
And there's only five guys. And if you're really special, then
you stand out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, J.J. Watt, I think, the only full-blown superstar on the Texans, right? Deshaun Watson has a chance to be.
I think Deshaun Watson is very close because
DeAndre Hopkins has a chance to be.
Yeah,
he's already an elite player at his position, yeah. But not. I would not call him a superstar yet.
True. He says porn artists.
No, I don't like that.
I'm glad somebody got my up and comers joke. Thank you for that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back. Maybe we'll squeeze in a call or two. It is the Blitz. ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Hey Houston, this is Tony Kent with the Houston Astros, and you're listening to the number one sports show in Houston, The Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. Taylor says Fred comes off as homerish talking about Watson. I think it's fair to have serious doubt. Have serious doubt. I don't. I think the guy's going to be great. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If that makes me a homer, so be it. I'll also be telling Bill O'Brien to go bleep himself. That's what homers do, too.
My only doubts about the guy come with... The only doubts I have come with his health.
Well, that's not true. Because... The league will adjust to him, and you brought that up, too.
Do I doubt that he can sustain what he did for those six games last year?
Yeah, well, that's a fair thing to doubt. Yeah.
No, I don't think, if anybody thinks that's going to happen for his whole career, you're a lunatic.
But if you don't think that he achieved a level of stardom by beating Alabama in the national championship, then, sorry, Taylor, you're missing the point of the conversation. Because that's what we're talking about.
He's a star for sure.
If he goes off and starts doing what he did last year, that's why he's on the cover of Sports Illustrated, which is probably going to ruin it. And if he starts going off like that and stays healthy all season, being the quarterback who already beat Alabama and the national attention this guy gets, that's the other thing, man. I go through 20 websites a day to get stuff for this show. Deshaun Watson gets so much national love. I mean, and it's all because, he was from Clemson, but then the stretch of games last year. And I bet... Well, JJ's kind of out of sight, out of mind, except for the Harvey stuff last year. People wouldn't be talking about him much anymore. But I bet if you go and look and did that kind of research, too, you'd see that this guy is everybody wants him to be a star.
Yeah.
Everybody.
I mean, he's a likable guy. I'm with you. But college success doesn't automatically mean that you're a superstar in the NFL. I don't think Matt Leinart was ever an NFL superstar. He's a fantastic college quarterback.
But he also wasn't. like he was a big deal in college, but he was part of a bigger deal because Reggie Bush was really the star on that team as far as the offense goes.
And, but was Reggie Bush ever a superstar in the NFL?
Not in the NFL, but
I mean, he was a star player because people definitely knew his name. But I think once, like, to become a superstar,
you have
like,
to perform. Yeah,
like non-sports fans have to know something about you.
But
to
everybody knew him going in, and he went third overall, right. And then he did wind up winning a Super Bowl. There was
that's
that.
True.
You know, but
like he carried them to a
Super Bowl. Was never a star player, but I guarantee you, there's still more people out there that if you walked out on the street and we just pulled five random people and asked them if they know Reggie Bush, more would know Reggie Bush than Alvin Kamara.
Probably so.
So there's a difference between performance and superstar. That's what we're trying to get across here. Maybe not very well.
The best players aren't always superstars.
Right.
Joe Thomas, I could carry his picture around and show 10 people. I bet maybe one or two would know who Joe Thomas was. Just a picture of him, not in uniform.
Yeah.
Just a picture of him wearing a t-shirt and jeans. My guess is about 1 to 2 out of 10 on average. I'm talking guys, not just not just people.
Yeah.
I'm talking about if you ask dudes, well, I'm going to go 1 or 2 out of 10.
Yeah. And Mark says, a superstar to me is like someone you'd recognize in public without having watched your sport. Like even people who don't watch football know JJ.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think they knew him before.
And a lot of it is like you start getting commercial, like Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman's on that commercial with Stephen A. Smith where he's eating the beef jerky. He's got a very recognizable feature with his hair. I feel like Richard Sherman is a superstar player, even though at this point he's no longer playing at a superstar level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like even though his Marshawn Lynch is a superstar. I mean, he's the Skittles commercials.
I mean,
everybody knows Marshawn. But that Marshawn Lynch is probably the 25th best running back in the NFL at this point.
You know what though? I think though, if you really want to break it down, if you want to say true superstars. I think there's LeBron. I think there's Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
I think there's Brady and Rodgers. And I think there's Serena Williams.
That's it, huh?
At least in the United States. Now, you want to start talking about these soccer cats, and we got to go Ronaldo and Messi and God knows what else. But and
is Kevin Durant not a superstar?
He's not on that level.
What about Steph Curry?
I don't think he's on that level. I mean, we're not talking about his players now.
Right. But I'm talking about as far as fame.
He's probably closest. Yeah.
Steph Curry might be more. He might be closer than Kevin Durant.
He would be closer than Kevin Durant because you know the daughter and all that stuff. But I think if you're just looking for the biggest five, he's close. He's close.
You know who's? I bet is still even. He's Kobe? Been out of the game for a while. I bet he's in this. I was going to say Shaq more than Kobe even.
Well, Shaq because he does TV, but Kobe I think too.
Yeah.
And again, it's easier for basketball players. But like I was watching because I had to buy ESPN Plus for my CFL games, which, by the way, I'll have a play in a few minutes for tonight. And what I hate about it, it's just like the old watch ESPN. You see the same commercials over and over. There's a Serena commercial that they showed I don't know how many times in the first half, but I told the wife at halftime, okay, I said, over under, 5 more times we see this commercial in the second half. Guess how many times?
How many times?
5. Oh. Nailed it. I wish I could bet on that. I wish there was something on my bookie that said how many times we're going to see this damn commercial. But, you know, she's a pretty big noise. And, you know, so I think she would be in that group. But, all right, let's squeeze in a couple calls real quick. Robert or Robert or Robbie. Hey, what's up, man?
Beto. Hey, what's up, man? Hey, I'm a school teacher at Castle Glen Elementary. And when I get out the car, man, when we get back in the car, hey, I love listening to the Blitz, man.
Hey, thanks, man.
That was me when I had y'all talking about y'all top 5 wrestlers. I'm sorry about that. But I need to know, one of y'all had went to talk about, you know, top 5 basically superstars. But what about top 5 superstars on any decade?
Oh, well, Jordan, LeBron, obviously.
And Jordan probably still belongs on that list. Although he's, you know, he hasn't been as... I wouldn't say he's visible.
No.
So maybe he's not. Like Kobe's still in the news all the time for something. But because he comments on everything. He's
But Kobe's involved. Behind, I mean, as far as like superstardom all time.
Oh, yeah.
Magic Johnson's ahead of Kobe, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt.
So I'd say, and it's hard to make a top 5 even that doesn't, it's not just NBA. because they're the biggest stars. NBA players are the biggest superstars.
I think that's fair.
I'm trying to think of, like, I mean, maybe Joe Montana. He was a pretty big superstar.
Well, he had
the video game named after him, Joe Montana football.
There's such a difference, though now between now and then, because really starting with Jordan and then a little bit later Tiger, this was more when the social media era started happening, and I think a lot of these guys now had more endorsements and things like that than they could ever get before, and that makes them bigger stars. What makes Aaron Rodgers known is those damn commercials.
Let me give you two that we haven't talked about all time anyway. Mike Tyson and Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
They're both in that conversation.
Would you say Brett Favre is a bigger superstar than Rodgers?
Interesting.
They're close.
I feel like Brett's probably a little bit bigger.
Well, I mean, based on the picture I saw, I hope that he's not bigger than Aaron Rodgers.
No.
El Jefe is the only way to be a radio star to have Dave and Barron write about you.
Yes.
Yeah, because we're just local programming, man. Squeeze in another call. Boosh. What's up, Boosh?
Hey, sports boys.
Sports to you, sir.
Hey, man, I just want to call and say that your producer, that Tyler Kidd, I think he's been doing a knockout job. Now, I'm not saying he's going to put Jong out of a job. I love Jong, man. I don't want to see Jong go. But as long as he's on his holiday in Cambodia, you know, this guy's been tearing it up with, like, the music and everything. And even the way he tees himself up when he pops into your conversations, just so you guys can knock him out of the park. I mean, I think he's done a really outstanding job. And I do have a nickname for him. You guys should just call him the Music Man.
Okay. All right. That's a horrible nickname. But thank you, Tyler's brother, for calling in.
Don't have a brother. I don't know who that is. And I have not.
That's your best friend.
I think you've got a new boyfriend.
That's your best friend.
Well, come on. That's weird.
I'm just saying. You have
not
an admirer.
There's anything wrong with that.
No, but you have an admirer. And you know, frankly, sometimes it doesn't matter. Just take what you can get.
Brian Reschle says Peyton Manning.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a real good one because of damn nationwide commercials. So it's like, to me, I guess it's like if the secretary in your building knows him.
Right.
And doesn't watch sports. Esme says Nolan Ryan.
Yeah, I'll hear that argument.
I will. I think he's a little more regional. I think
maybe.
Here, because he did so much for both the Astros and the Rangers, but also was with the Angels.
Is Roger Clemens a bigger star than Nolan Ryan?
Yeah, I think he is.
Like, nationally? I mean, he played for the Yankees.
Yeah, and the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone asked Barry Bonds or A-Rod, bigger superstar.
I think A-Rod's probably the bigger star.
He's still in the public eye.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it because he always kind of was.
I don't know. That's tough, man. Lamont says the bicycle dude, which he's talking about Lance Armstrong.
Yeah. Well, he was there.
He was.
Lance Armstrong might have been the biggest star in the world at one point.
He's in that conversation with Michael Phelps.
I'm sure there's the same. People still wear the Livestrong bracelets.
Do they?
I'm sure there are.
I never had one of those bracelets.
Me either. I was one of the skeptics who thought this dude's got to be cheating.
You know,
he's
star
too good
when I was
to be true, and of course he was.
Oh, I said that all the time, and people hated me in Austin for saying it because he's from there.
But, yeah,
you know, as a big star when I was a kid was Andre Agassi.
Yeah,
John McEnroe.
McEnroe and Connors kind of came up at the same time,
but John McEnroe was the bigger star because he'd
throw his racket,
he was more
of
the showman,
the temper. Yeah,
just like Pete Sampras and Andre Agassi were around the same time.
Yeah, Sampras,
and Pete Sampras was a better player. Yeah. But Andre Agassi was the bigger star.
Agassi had the best hair before he went bald, too.
Yeah.
Dude looked like Bon Jovi. I mean, he was fun.
Superstar. Hulk Hogan.
Yes, brother.
Yeah, right?
Definitely. Definitely.
I mean, The Rock, too, but he's basically a full-blown movie star.
Yeah, he's become
He's no longer like a sports figure.
Right.
Not that I know if wrestling guys should be counted as sports figures.
No, I don't
think
you can count wrestling. Squeeze Lawrence on real quick.
What's up, Lawrence? it was two things I wanted to say. You remember when Penny Hardaway was at his prime?
Oh yeah,
Penny done. He was pretty. He had a nice little following. And I want to ask Trey, what you gonna bet on the field and Tiger golf matchup? I hang up on this.
Man, I'm not going to. And it's pay per view.
Yeah, you think I'm watching that?
I'm not paying for it. And if I'm not going to pay for it, I'm not going to bet on it. I couldn't believe when I heard that was a pay-per-view.
That's crazy. There's got to be some sponsor who's, I mean, give me a break. Who's buying that?
Honestly, man, I was really interested when I heard they were going to do this. I figured this will be fun. It'd be like watching senior tour golf. And then Tiger had a couple good tournaments. A month and a half ago, I'd have been all over Phil on this at a plus number. I might still be, actually, if I were going to bet it. But I'm not going to bet it because I'm not going to watch it. Because it's a damn pay-per-view. I don't even know what they're charging for
it. And it's going to be on the day after Thanksgiving.
Oh, you know what else is happening the day after Thanksgiving? Lots of really good college football.
Yeah.
So, man, they should do it on Thanksgiving after, you know, in the afternoon. All right, we're going to take
Do you think anybody's going to pay for pay-per-view on Thanksgiving? I don't think so.
There's football on Thanksgiving, too.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, if you're actually going to buy this pay-per-view, not if you're not going to, don't text the show, but if you're going to text the show, I'm just kind of curious. I don't know if I'm going to get crickets or I'm going to get seriousness. Do we know how much it is? I just saw a pay-per-view and I'm like, oh, I'm out on this.
I think Charlie said in the 20 to 30 range earlier.
That's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
It's absurd.
Yeah, absurd. Juggalo Trey weighing in. Dale Earnhardt Sr. or Jr. Sr. was pretty big when he died.
Yeah, I guess.
But see, I think he's kind of like Janis Joplin. People think more of him because he died. So if you die early.
Yeah. Who's bigger star, Dale Earnhardt or Jeff Gordon?
Oh, NASCAR people will tell you Earnhardt, but I think Gordon was more well-known outside the sport.
Yeah, Jeff Gordon got mentioned in a rap song
That's
by
what
Nelly.
I was about to say, exactly. Yeah.
Plus, he was a handsome man.
I mean, I know Earnhardt Jr. doesn't rhyme with the black SS with the navigation, but neither does really Jeff Gordon. He worked that in there, though.
Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
Never go back to the AM dial.
Your home for sports is only on FM.
With ESPN 97.5.
And Sports Map 94.1.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on Sports Map 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Tyler, you need to get in on this, too. Saturday.
Tyler can't have any of this.
No, he can.
People are kissing his ass on Twitter and stuff.
I know.
I don't like it.
I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah, well, you guys stop giving Tyler all this credit.
Those Astros bottles look pretty sweet.
Yeah, well, they
too
do.
Too bad. Those are not for you.
No.
Hey, I promised him as a perk, he could participate a little bit.
Oh, God.
He's done an adequate job.
All right,
he hasn't
fine.
Been great, but he's done an adequate job despite what the people are saying.
If you listen to the people, he's done everything. He's the man.
Yeah, he's just trying to get all this. Never mind.
Dude, what would he be without us?
Does he have groupies?
No.
Well, female groupies.
Hey, do people always give you love when you're hosting Charlie's show?
No.
No.
Well, I think
sometimes.
Suddenly you look
do.
Like a much better producer when the talent's kicked up a notch.
During
right?
Raheel and Dell, I got love for the music all the time.
I mean, come on. This is like, Joe Torre's such a great manager. Look what he's doing with Jeter and A-Rod and you know, a Hall of Fame squad. Yeah, of course. Yeah, you're doing okay over there, Phil Jackson. Congratulations.
You can still have some whiskey, all right? You can have one of mine if he's going to be a snob about it. Speaking of which, Whiskeys of the World is Saturday, September 22nd, and happy to have you guys back. It's going to be at Silver Street Studios, and go to eventbrite.com/e/Whiskeys of the World Houston 2018 tickets and get your tickets. And you guys got everything coming, right? Well, today we got the makers. Talk about the makers.
It's a makers day.
Yeah. But let's use this.
Let's
mic.
Let's use that mic. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So we're gonna have some Maker's Mark out there. I brought a selection for us to sample today as well, because you can't talk about whiskey without drinking it. Obviously.
I love that. That's your philosophy.
Yeah, that's what I wake up.
You know what else I love about you?
What's that?
I can understand the words you're saying.
Ah, yes. Well, we haven't even started talking about whiskey.
Last time I saw you guys, I didn't know what the hell that guy was. He was just like, it sounded like the guys from Sons of Anarchy who were like talking to Jax Teller, and he's got to just be like, what the hell are you saying?
Oh, he was Irish, wasn't he?
Oh, extremely Irish. I mean, it was crazy talk, and I didn't know what he was saying, but he just kept pouring whiskey. So I just kept nodding and going,
I like this one.
Michael's, this should make for a better interview.
Michael's a good friend of mine, so I'm familiar with the continuous pouring.
Okay. And he brought good whiskey, too. I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
So you're ahead now because we can understand you, but depending on how you do with the whiskey, that's a thing. You got to keep up with him because he did a pretty good job.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see what we can do here.
So what all are you guys doing differently this year? I mean, I love this event, by the way. It's one of my favorites to go to. And again, it's Silver Street Studios, Saturday, September 22nd. What are you guys doing differently this year?
One of the biggest things that I don't believe that we had out there last year is one of our newest innovations for Maker's Mark, which is our private select program, which is our single barrel program. So that's going to be something fairly new to folks, as well as, you know, our standby favorites of 46 and Maker's Original.
I'm a big 46 guy.
Are you?
Yeah, that's one of my go-tos.
It's one of mine, too.
So what are we going to try here? Let's get to the good stuff.
I think should we calibrate our palates, as they say.
Okay.
With Maker's Original.
All right.
Yeah. This is so what makes Maker's Mark a little bit different is that we're, you know, as far as distilleries go, we're a fairly young distillery. You've got, you know, all these bourbon companies out there with 200 plus years of heritage, and we've got our master distillers that that have been with us for a while. But you know, it's a little different at Maker's Mark. So what we've done is our founder, Bill Samuels Sr., he started with a taste and made bourbon to match that taste. So Bill's taste vision was that it should be smooth. It should be front of palate, shouldn't be bitter at all, and it should be a bourbon that people enjoyed drinking and sipping, you know, day after day. His dad made whiskey for a long time, and it was all, you know, using his words, it would blow your ears off, and he didn't want to make a whiskey like that. So Maker's Mark is a wheated bourbon. We don't use rye as our flavor grain like many bourbons do. So what you get out of that is, you know, like I said, that sort of all sticks up front on your palate. It's a little sweeter.
What I like about it is it's a really good sipping whiskey. Mm-hmm. And yeah, maybe sometimes I'll have like one block of ice with it, sure. But most of the time I like it just straight.
Yeah, yeah, that's...
I'm a neat man myself when it comes to whiskey. I tend to, because I like it if it's a little bit chilled, but I also don't like an ice cube hitting me in the lip when I'm trying to get a nice sip. It can be frustrating.
In my case, it's an ice cube hitting me in the nose. But
right, but everything hits your nose.
By the way,
literally everything.
If you guys want to tune into the live stream, go to ESPN975.com and then click on live stream, and you'll see why we love our jobs.
Yeah, this is a really hard day.
Yeah.
Really hard day.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite days of the year, to be honest with you, because usually it makes for a more interesting third hour.
Yeah.
So.
Yep, that's... Just imagine having to wake up and do this every day.
It's a hard job.
The last time we did something like this, we were doing a whiskey podcast, and you know, I wound up agreeing to have my... Nah, never mind. It wound up being a rough day.
When we did the podcast over there, and that started at like what, 10:30 a.m. or something like that.
Yeah.
You start drinking whiskey at 10:30 a.m. on a day you've got to work from 4 to 7, that can throw your day off a little bit.
It can, like, but, you know,
now, you know, it's 5:45.
Yeah.
I was going to mail in the last hour today anyway. You know,
so, my like every day.
Yeah. My day's on a downhill slide right now, so this is perfect timing.
You know, if you need an excuse for drinking early, though, your palate is more calibrated early in the morning because you haven't had exterior influences, so you haven't, you know, had other meals and coffee.
All right.
So, you know.
So you just gave me an excuse for day drinking.
Yeah.
I like that.
I sat in the sauna all day, so I'm extremely dehydrated, so this is gonna rip me up.
Good.
Yeah, it's great. Great news.
All right, so it's Whiskeys of the World Saturday, September 22nd. What else have you got here for us to...
All right.
And what's going to be the difference?
So moving up the line, we're going to do Maker's 46. So what makes Maker's 46 special... Yeah, I love that pop. All right. Is that so we take fully matured Maker's Mark, which is about six and a half year old bourbon, and we age this with the addition of 10 seared virgin French oak staves, And what that allows us to do, and we do this for 90 days, and we do it only in the winter, which is a lot to kind of wrap your head around. But what we're after, French oak gives us more spice, and it gives us some more more vanillins. So this is Bill Samuel Jr.'s taste vision. So we talked about Bill Sr., our founder. His son, Bill Jr., decided that he wanted to make a contribution to Maker's Mark as well. This is what his flavor vision was. And he wanted a Maker's Mark with a longer finish that was just a juiced-up version of Maker's Mark. So I tell people this is as if Maker's Mark and creme brulee had a love child. It's got a little bit more spice, tons more vanilla and caramel, just an amped-up version of what we know and love. It's not... you know, it still has that Maker's Mark DNA. It's still smooth in front palate.
Oh, that's my go-to.
Yeah,
That's so good.
Question, though, because like, when we were doing a wine tour in Sonoma earlier this year, and like everything's French oak. It's like it's like they go out. It's like they all of them have to have French oak. What does French oak do that's so different than everything else?
So French oak grows, well, not by nature, but French oak grows a little bit differently. So the way the growth rings are spaced apart, there's, without really boring you for hours, there's more opportunity for flavor. And then the species itself gives off a little bit of different flavor as well. So you have, you know, you have American white oak that lends towards more that sort of vanilla character. And then you have French oak that has the vanilla, but it's got a little bit more caramel and spice.
Yeah, I know that was probably too much of an inside question, but I'm just so curious because I keep hearing that now. Oh, it's French oak. And I'm like, okay, well, nothing good has ever come out of France. This would be the first thing.
The oak is a bonus.
French fries, sir?
No, those are American fries now. Remember?
Freedom fries, I think.
Yeah. You know who else came out of France? Napoleon.
True.
Yeah.
Not ideal.
Women with armpit hair.
True.
Yeah, that don't bathe.
Canadians.
What part of Canada? Yeah,
yeah
I don't go to that part of Canada.
Okay.
No, this one's fantastic.
This is really good. I like that a lot.
Yeah. This is the one that Tyler needs to get a piece of.
I think, you know, with Maker's Mark, everybody loves Maker's Mark. It's ubiquitous. One of the things I love about the brand is you can go anywhere. So I travel a lot. I can guarantee if I go to an airport bar, they're going to have Maker's Mark. Maker's 46 is just that next level up for a little bit more sophisticated drinker, looking for something a little different. For me, I like Maker's Mark in a cocktail, and I like Maker's 46 neat. So
I feel, I feel like if you mix anything into this, you're ruining it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. It makes a fine old fashioned or Manhattan, but
don't do that. Don't waste that whiskey.
As long as they're buying it.
That's like somebody. Barry Laminack. Remember when you weren't there. We went to B&B Butchers, which has one of the best whiskey selections in the city. And I was trying to get Barry onto some better whiskey than Crown, which is what he drinks all the time. And he drinks Crown and Diet Coke. And he ordered some really fine whiskey just to try it. Then he dumped Diet Coke into it. Come on, man.
He's going to have to change
his... Have some respect.
Yeah. Now, I could see making a Manhattan with... Because, I mean, they're always going to be better.
If someone poured Diet Coke into this, I would punch them in the face. I mean,
if you did a really nice, well-done old-fashioned or something with this, that would be fine. Because but I still drink it neat. That's just me.
That's my preference. Mm-hmm. If it's really hot out like it is now, you know, a ice sphere, one of the big clear cubes, that works for me.
Are you telling me now that bottle that's in the middle, that's up another level from this 46?
Up another level.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
I don't know if I'm ready for this.
You may be familiar with, you know, there's a lot of companies coming out with single barrel bourbons, whiskey, scotches, you name it. The thing about Maker's Mark is we've been for... you know, a little over 60 years, we've been striving to make the same whiskey that's very consistent year after year after year. So us doing a barrel program would be very boring because we like to say at Maker's Mark that we're purposefully inefficient. We do a lot of things to make sure that the bottle you have today is the same as the bottle that you might have on your, you know, your dad has on his bar, right? So when we went out to create a single barrel program, we actually took the idea of Maker's 46 with the French oak stave. And we developed four additional staves, one American. The rest are all French, so one American, four French. You have to choose a combination of 10 total staves out of the five, so I'll do the math for you. There are 1,001 combinations in this program. And you actually go to the distillery, and you you custom blend your own version of Maker's Mark. And we, the staves that we chose, we have a mocha, a spice, a baked American pure, a French cuvee, and the Maker's 46 original stave. They all contribute something that's already in Maker's Mark.
But just, we've just amp it up.
Pumped it up, right? So you're picking which flavors of Maker's Mark that you want to consolidate and blend into your version. You know, in town, Reserve 101 was one of my first customers that came and did the experience. So the one we're tasting now, this is actually the one that's available at Total Wine. They've done four Maker's 46 staves, three French mocha, and three spice. So, you know, I can already tell you without even tasting this one, it's going to be heavy vanilla, but you're going to get some chocolate and, like, baking spice notes out of it.
I was going to say, because I get more vanilla out of the 46
right.
than out of this one, because there's other stuff sort of masking it,
right. You've got the mocha and the spice, they're, you know, mocha is, as the name implies, it's coffee and chocolate. Mm-hmm. And then the spice are your cloves, your cinnamon, your you know, those beautiful Christmas baking spice
yeah.
kind of things. So you're going to get a combination of those, and it's kind of, you know, 4-3-3, so it's sort of even keel on all.
So there will be, I mean, depending on where you go, you'll get a different batch of
That's
this.
Right.
It could be completely different from a bottle you get in a different city.
That's
or,
right.
Or is Total Wine the only place in town you guys sell these?
No. So, you know, Total retail-wise, when, you know, going in and out of stock, obviously, because it is limited time offering, you'll have Total, you know, you have your specs. A lot of your independents will have them as well. And then your on-premise spots will have them periodically. I think the only person in stock right now is Reserve 101.
Okay.
For, you know, going into a bar and giving it a shot.
Yeah, that's one of my go-to places downtown. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great whiskey bar, absolutely. So. And, you know, it's super unique. I'm biased, obviously, but I think this is the coolest thing going on in bourbon right now just because, you know, it is.
How many combinations do you think you've tasted?
A lot.
I've
probably sat through, I don't know, 30 or 40 selections personally at this point.
Okay.
Plus tasted a bunch when
yeah.
I'm out, so... You know, maybe shouldn't disclose an actual number, huh?
I mean, listen, we all know you were safe at home without keys to your vehicle.
That's
so
absolutely
I, yeah.
right. That's right.
Wow, man, what a life you've got.
It's not bad.
Are you married? You got kids?
Got married, got two kids. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
This is a dream job for someone who's married with two kids.
Yeah, right. Well, my wife's in the industry, which helps.
My God,
immensely.
I wish that I could just drink myself silly every day before I go home to my wife and two kids.
Yeah,
would,
right.
I mean, everything would be just be better. Just way better.
Absolutely.
Well,
tell people about the event. Let's hear about the event.
So yeah,
now that you've spoiled us with
yeah,
the whiskey.
Yeah, right. So we've got Whiskeys of the World coming up. It's a great opportunity to try all kinds of different things. You know, obviously you should stop by the Maker's Mark table because that's my bread and butter. But there's opportunity to taste all sorts of different things. Three consecutive days. We've got Thursday, and I'm gonna have to remind myself here.
That's all right.
Thursday in Austin, the 20th of September. Friday in Dallas, the 21st of September, and then here at home, Saturday, the 22nd.
Okay. Are you based out of Houston?
I am based out of Houston. I cover the state of Texas, and fortunate enough to cover New Orleans as well.
Oh.
Small drinking.
That doesn't pub. Suck.
Yeah, love Avenue Pub.
Oh, it's my favorite. Yeah. It's my favorite bar in the whole country.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I go there every year. Once a year, I go to Avenue
awesome.
Pub and spend a weekend there.
Yeah, I grew up in the craft beer industry and kind of crossed over from craft beer to spirits. So Avenue Pub has a special place in my heart.
It is. It's my favorite. I love it.
Absolutely.
By Sunday, you're going to be a wreck. I'm sure you're tasting some of this stuff while you're there.
One of the things I've noticed, a trend, and you saying you're a craft beer crossover, is a lot more craft beer bars are starting to become craft beer / craft whiskey bars. And Hay Merchant recently mm-hmm. did it. I mean, Hay Merchant is one of my favorite bars in the city. They went to having a full cocktail menu now. I know Hop Scholar, which is a nice spot up north, they're building yep. like sort of, I don't know if it's going to be in the same, if it's under the same license or what, but right next door, there's a full-blown cocktail bar. So, I mean, obviously we've seen such a boom in craft beer over the last 5 or 10 years. How does the growth of small batch whiskey sort of compare to that craft
sure,
beer boom?
Sure, you know, I tell people, I get that question quite a bit, actually. So, you know, in the world of craft beer, I can sit down, come up with a recipe, and have a good beer, you know, after I've perfected the recipe within a week or so. So craft spirits have to catch up to that curve, because the ideas that were coming out today, so, you know, if looking at Private Select, I mean, that was an idea that had to be conceptualized a very long time ago in order to let the bourbon age and to let the spirits mature. You know, in the case of most bourbon, you're looking at maybe a 6.5 to 7.5, you know, up to 10-year lag on trend versus product and reality. And, you know, on top of that, we as a society are experiencing a sort of flavor revolution. You're seeing, you know, more flavor in beer, more flavor in wine, more flavor in the restaurants that you go visit. So it just makes sense that every category.
We deserve it.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
We deserve it. We work hard. We deserve more flavor.
I think so.
Well, appreciate you coming in and bringing all this.
Can we tell people where to get tickets?
Yes. So if you go onto the website right now, between, I believe it's the hours of 6 and 10, you can get a 40% off, or a $40 off, excuse me, coupon if you use the promo code MAKERS. Let's see. You have that website here, right?
It's, yeah.
Eventbrite.com/e/WhiskeysOfTheWorldHouston2018tickets.
That's really easy to get to.
Yeah. Very, very clear.
Well, something tells 40, me some... 40 bucks off, with that for VIP too? I'm going to do that?
You know, I'm not actually sure of that.
Okay.
Just VIP curious. Is the way to go, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knows
VIP
that.
VIP is fantastic.
Because you get to get in early for that. It's worth the extra bucks.
Yeah, you get a little more private time with the reps and get the first crack at the good stuff.
That's the way it should be. Dustin wants to know, if you were to drop ice in it on a hot day, what kind would it be, and what kind of difference in ice that can be used in on the effects it has on the whiskey?
That's like a great question. So the smaller the ice, the more water you're going to get out of
it, right? If you have a big cube, you're going to have less water.
Right. So the bigger the cube, the better.
Don't use sonic ice in your
whiskey. Yeah, yeah.
Make a slushy.
If you're going to the pool.
That actually might be okay now that I think about it.
Snow cone action would work, right? But yeah, the bigger the ice cube, the less water you'll get into your whiskey. And then, you know, as with anything, if you make your ice out of bad-tasting water, you're putting bad-tasting water in your whiskey. So... in an ideal world, you'd use purified water and you'd freeze it very slowly to let the impurities drop off the ice. But that's crazy. So
I'm just going to use, if I were to use ice, I would just use what's in my ice machine, to be honest.
Yeah. You know? That's what most people do. So I tell people, add one cube. Mm-hmm. If that doesn't get you where you like, add another, because you can always add, but you can never take the water out.
It's true. That's why I just like mine with no ice.
That's the safe way.
That's the move.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about trying to figure it out then, but. Most of the time, one block of ice for me works.
Absolutely.
Room temperature, ideal temperature for drinking whiskey?
Yeah, you know, room temperature, I always tell people, depending on what the whiskey is, think about the climate where that whiskey is created, right? So if you're drinking scotch, I think you should drink that on, you know, and we're talking like degrees here, a couple degrees cooler than, say, you're drinking bourbon, because the climate's a little cooler, and that's where it's initially being tasted. So, you know, in Kentucky, we have hot summers, cold winters, so you're kind of safe. Drink it how you like it. I think, you know, there's opportunities to cool it down. You can cool it down with cool water. You can actually chill your glass a little bit.
Okay.
Take a glass, put some cool water and ice in it, swirl it around, dump that out. And then the temperature of the glass will actually kind of cool the whiskey a little bit to that magic spot, you know.
That might be the move.
Yeah, right.
I like that. All right. Well, you know what? You're welcome here anytime.
Yes.
You're allowed as long as I bring something. Yeah. Right?
You're allowed back. Yes. You've exactly. impressed us.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I had a great time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you. Great whiskeys. Thanks for opening these. That was delicious. Cheers. Cheers.
Once again, Whiskeys of the World, Saturday, September 22nd at the Silver Street Studios. And eventbrite.com/e/WhiskeysOfTheWorldHouston2018tickets. I think if you just go to the Whiskeys of the World website, there'll be a link that will take you there. That's probably the easiest way to do it. And if, you know, you need extra money to do it, you know what? Try Lightstream. How about getting a credit card consolidation loan and getting rid of those really high credit card rates, get you a better loan, and then you can go to Whiskeys of the World. It's an easy way to save hundreds to thousands of dollars, depending on what's on your credit cards. You can lower your interest rate. They offer credit card consolidation loans from 5.89% APR with AutoPay. 5.89%. Average credit card interest rate's over 18. I'm not good at math, but that could be a lot of money, especially if you have several thousand dollars on your credit cards. If you've got good credit, you can get your funds as soon as the day you apply. They believe people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees, so say goodbye to high-interest credit cards this summer and start saving with LightStream. How about this? Blitzers can save even more with an additional interest rate discount on top of LightStream's already low rates. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/Fred. LightStream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com for more information.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.